All right, thank you, folks. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Acts chapter 10. I'm gonna quit. I probably won't be through, but I'm gonna quit on the subject probably today. I'm gonna finish it off, and some of you will be glad because you might have felt some conviction on this. I don't know. I'm joking with you. I can't joke about it much because I'm talking about me. But we're on the subject of the Bible and food and what it has to say about it. And we went back through Leviticus and the laws given to the Jews and all of that business, and quite some interesting stuff. This morning we're going to get across the street to the grace side of it instead of being the dietary laws given to the Jews under the law. And we need to understand what we'll be reading here in the book of Acts is where the Lord is teaching a Jewish fellow by the name of Peter about grace. And starting off in Acts chapter 10, we'll start at about verse 9. You remember the story, a Gentile, a Roman by the name of Cornelius. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was praying. He was seeking God. He was a devout man. He gave alms. He was praying, and God sent an angel to him, really, but he didn't let the angel give him the gospel. The angel told him to go find a fellow by the name of Peter. And so you know the rest of the story, how Peter is contacted, and he comes back and brings the gospel to Cornelius, and here the truth was that the Jews need to learn that God was going to give the gospel to the Gentiles, and that was a hard thing for them. The earliest church was basically made up of Jews, and if you know anything about Judaism today, you know they still are pretty close with their truths and their teachings, and they don't share with the Gentiles real easy. And it was the way it was here in the book of Acts. And God was teaching a big lesson, and he used the dietary laws of what could be eat and not eat to teach Peter that he's crossing over now from law to grace and that the gospel is going to be given to the Gentiles. So starting in verse 9, just for the sake of time, of Acts chapter 10, Cornelius now sent some men to find Peter. So it says in verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. You know the housetop, still over today if you go and look, the housetop was a little bit like we Southerners have a front porch. We go outside, you know, and enjoy the weather, and that's really what they did on these Jewish houses. They had a lot of living on top of the flat roof houses that they had. So he's up on the housetop. He goes up there to pray about the sixth hour. In other words, it's just about time to eat. He's wanting the ladies in the kitchen to hurry up. You men ever been there? Time or two I've said to my wife when I was, you know, in a hurry, I'd say something like, you ever gonna get it ready? She said, come in here and dance in front of this oven and see if that'll speed it up. Women can be like that sometimes, can't they? Amen. But anyway, that's part of the way Peter felt right then. It was just too slow. Verse 11, he's praying now, and he says in verse 11, he's fallen into a trance now. It says, while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Now in Leviticus 11, almost all of this stuff right here is forbidden. We studied that last week. For instance, the creeping things. Now, I don't know all that encounters, but don't sound good, creeping things, does it? And certain fowls were unclean, and some were clean, and four-footed beasts, some were clean, and some were not. But he's seeing all manner now. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So that tells us what the beasts were. They were on the unclean list. And no, Lord, I wouldn't eat that. Verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. He's teaching Peter a lesson. This was done three times. You know, sometimes it takes three or four times for us to get it. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. Now, I'm going to stop there. God speaks to Peter, tells him to go with the men. He goes to Cornelius' house. He gives them the gospel, and he sees the Holy Spirit of God go to work on these Gentiles and sees them converted just like Jews. And God's lesson here was for him not to call the Gentiles unclean or common, that what God cleansed was fine. And so while that's main point is the gospel to the Gentiles, at the same time, God has changed things now to where under grace, you and I can eat anything that don't eat us, far as it pertaining to our salvation. May not be the best thing to do sometime, but doesn't have a thing to do with whether you're saved or lost, depending on what you eat. And there's a whole lot of folks can't get that. Islam today thinks if you eat a pork chop, you're condemned forever. Amen. Now, again, that enters into religions of works. Yes, they can go to Leviticus and show you where the swine is off the eating list. And maybe it might even be better if we didn't. I don't know. But I know a lot of Southerners wouldn't have lived if we hadn't had bacon and eggs in the morning when I was growing up. Amen. And so I still have them. But anyway, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Still, there are things on the unclean list in Leviticus 11 that we won't eat. We wouldn't eat the vulture. We won't eat the raven. There's a lot of things that we won't, and it's just common sense, but somehow the pig overcome the list through our history. And so we still do. Again, it might not be the smartest thing I talk to you about that. I don't know. I know one thing. Pig or beef, pig or cow, I want it cooked all right for you today, man. I'm not one of these fellows that's going to sop meat and blood, I'll tell you that. And by the way, blood is forbidden. It is forbidden in the Old Testament. Anyway, talking here about it now, we see that Peter is being taught a lesson concerning law and grace and the gospel going to the Gentiles. But we're on the subject of food, and we need to understand this. What you eat is not a sin, or what you don't eat is not necessarily going to give you a reward in heaven. We got to get off of that and understand that we're saved by grace, not by works of law, and diet can enter into that works that people trust sometime. And again, religious rules. You got to watch out for religious rules and go by the Bible. Now, I don't mean we've got to eat something that's bad for us. We don't have to do that. In fact, and I won't turn to it for time's sake, but during the millennial reign, you know what I mean by that? When Christ comes back, sets up his kingdom, when the curse will be lifted, when the rose bush will lose its thorns, the animals will quit eating each other. They have a carnivorous nature right now. And the fox will eat the rabbit, and the dog will catch the fox, and you know how it goes right up the food chain, the pecking order, so to speak. But it appears from what we read in Isaiah 66 and other places that that carnivorous nature that makes them eat each other will be lifted. Before the curse in the Garden of Eden, most likely the lion ate straw like the ox, because the Bible says he's going to do that in the coming kingdom, in the millennial reign under Christ. Now, God may bring us back under dietary laws. Now, you and I can't explain all this. No need to come to me with some questions. I probably can't handle them. I cannot tell you how, but somehow in the millennial reign, there are going to be what you and I would call mortal bodies, flesh and blood bodies, compared to the immortal bodies that are going to be raptured up, brought back, and rule with Christ as kings and priests for 1,000 years. Rule over what? There's going to be some human beings. Longevity of life's going to be restored, but they'll still need to eat. And according to what I read in Isaiah, I hate to say it, but they may all be on a vegetarian diet. Now, I joke a little bit about that. I try to eat my veggies as Mama used to want us to, but I still don't feel like I've eaten too much if I don't have a piece of meat. Most of us men are that way. And that's kind of our nature. But during that time, God will take care of that part of it. Now, I don't fuss about it that much. Brother Roloff on the radio, he'll skin you. And most of us just take him with a grain of salt. Amen. What he's saying is good. Amen. What he's saying is right. I often wondered if he really lived up to it 100% of the time. Dr. Jack Hiles tells a story that he flew into a certain place where they're going to have a Bible conference. Several preachers were coming in. He said, I come in late. He said, by the time I got there, the secretary said, go on down in the school cafeteria, probably won't be nobody down there, but maybe they got some food left over. So he said, I went down there to the cafeteria, and he said, as I walked in, I saw there was only one other man sitting at one of the tables, and he said his back was to me, and I didn't recognize him for a minute, but the closer I got, he said, I realized it was Lester Roloff. And of course they were good buddies. He said, I kind of slipped up behind him and looked over his shoulder to see what was in his plate. And he said, sure enough, he had mashed potatoes, gravy, and ham. He said, I spoke up and said, Brother Lester, I'd have rather caught my mama drunk than seeing you eating that. That's his story. Dr. Hiles had his own stories. You have to understand that, sort of like me. But he said, Lester said, got to eat something. So we can always excuse our exceptions, amen? But anyway, he'll fuss at you big time about the eating. Now let's look at a couple of verses. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. And let's see what the Bible says about this thing. I'll give you a moment to find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. And then we'll go over, look at another verse. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 8. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Do you get that now? Flip the coin both ways. Meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now those that are weak in the face, what he's talking about, and he's saying here, you got the liberty to eat whatever you want to, don't commend you one way or the other, but then he said don't be a stumbling block, and of course in the context, meat was often offered to idols. And somebody saw a Christian eating the meat that had been offered to idols. They thought that was wrong. You see it up in verse 13, how he kind of sums it up of 1 Corinthians 8. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So Paul said, I'd rather for testimony's sake, if I realize there's a guy over there is going to think I'm sinning when he sees me eat the meat, I'll just bypass it. I won't eat it in front of him. I'll think about what he thinks about it. So that's an attitude. Go with me to Romans now. Back to your left from Corinthians. Go back to Romans and pick it up in chapter 14. And still on that subject, Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Flip back there. him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, he's saying a guy hadn't been saved long as you, hadn't grown in the Word of God, hadn't been taught what you've been taught. He said, consider. And hey, folks, we can spread that around to more than food. We as believers sometimes make the mistake of forgetting how long we've been saved, how long we've been studying the Bible, how long we've been hearing the truth, and we judge too quickly a fellow that hadn't been saved very long. He hadn't had that time to grow. And we need to be careful about that, because what we do sometimes is we offend when people don't understand the Word. We got to have a little patience. You see some of these pretty little babies around the church here? We understand they got to grow, don't we? They are going to grow, and we're going to give them just enough to keep them growing and not choke them to death on a piece of beefsteak, right? Well, the same thing with a baby Christian. We are to do it right in our leading them to grow in the Lord. Now, back to Romans 14, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubt. Well, don't doubt him, that's what it's saying. Now, look at it in verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth turnip greens. Is that what your version says? Eateth herbs, vegetables. So he said, here's a guy, thinks it's all right to eat anything. Here's another guy, says, I can't eat anything but vegetables. Hey, listen to me. I have folks come in church, and have you ever noticed when somebody is on a health food kick, they overboard with it? Now, they may, because they're on that kick, they may keep kicking longer than me, I don't know. But have you ever noticed how that these pills will cure anything? But next month, it's a different set of pills. You ever notice? I mean, we all kind of sometimes go overboard a little bit on what we think we know, what we think we believe, and sometimes we're right and sometimes we're wrong. My physical body would never die if all the home remedies work that I've taken through the years. If all the guarantees I've heard from other folks came true, I wouldn't even be growing old. Now, I'm joking about that a little bit. We can all overdo it. And this chapter here, verse 14, starting out, kind of warning us about that stuff. And I'm for common sense and doing right. And hey, I have discovered a few home remedies that did pretty good. I found some, but lucky I lived through, too. Amen. So we have to be in balance on that. Now, picking it up in verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. See how plain the Word of God is. That's the right balance there. Let him that eateth despise not. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. I'm going to stop on it, but I think it's so plain there that we're under grace, that we better be careful in our hard judgment of somebody else, and especially when it comes to this thing of diet and eating. Again, it doesn't give you any points one way or the other. Now, somebody said to me one time, I don't know what it was, eating a hot dog, I guess. By the way, if you saw how they were made, you might not like them as good as you do now, but I think I was at a ball game or something and eating a hot dog, and somebody kidded me about it a little bit, and they said, eating that thing will kill you. I said, I tell you what else will kill you, not eating at all. And that's for sure. And that's the way I was feeling right then. I needed that hot dog, amen. But anyway, we all need to watch out that we stay right in our thinking on it. So whether you're a good Christian or not does not depend on your diet. Do you remember what Jesus said? They were condemning him, the Pharisees were, because you remember they ate without washing their hands one time, and the Pharisees got all upset about that. And Jesus made a statement that's medically very true. He said it's not what a man takes in, talking about eating, that's not what condemns him. He's talking about what goes out. He's talking about your mouth condemning you. Your mouth expresses you and your thoughts and your soul and your attitude and all that. He said what you eat's going to go out in the, going to be expelled. And truth is that God made a body that handles a lot of germs. Do you know that? We all take them in, and thank God we can expel them. It's when they get in there and stick, I guess, that hurts us. Some of you fellows had some military training or been in some rough spots where you had to eat some things you never would have ate at home, or whether you had to drink muddy water or some other kind of stuff you never would have considered. It is amazing how this body God made can cope with things like that and handle that that sort of stuff. I go back to several times like that, but I was thinking several of us men got out there when we first was going to cut our way into the youth camp. I mean, before, I don't know if anybody had been in there since the Seminole Indians when we went in. It was thick. And we went in with machetes, and by the time you got in there deep, you couldn't see the sun. You didn't hardly know which direction. I think one of the men had a compass, kept us from getting lost. But we went in there to cut the border lines on the first 10 acres of camp. And it was hot weather. I don't know what month it was. Don't matter what month it was in Florida. If it wants to get hot, it gets hot. And it was hot. We were in there, clothes sticking to us. We were whacking away at the bushes. And we really hadn't planned the day right, because we hadn't even taken a canteen with us. We didn't even have a jug of water with us. And we went in and discovered that creek for the first time, Brother Lewis. And after we worked a while longer, got to be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know what we did? We threw caution to the wind, got on our knees, and took a big drink out of that creek and lived, amen? Oh, yeah. You find out there's some things you can do, and if you get desperate enough, it'll seem awful right to do them. It seemed awful right to just get out there and drink that water, and none of us got sick from it that I know of. But the thing is, God made a body that'll expel the germs and get rid of things like as a creation no other machine has to cleanse itself. And so we're reading verses here. Now, talk about the cults and isms and false religion, what they'll do to you. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look over there at 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll give you time to get over there again to your right. And you'll see false religion here that always got rules. See, religion puts rules and regulations on you basically because they don't understand the grace of God. And they strain at a gnat, as Jesus said, and they swallow a camel. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, speaketh expressively that in the latter times, and certainly that's what Paul is referring to right on down to our day, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now here's some of the things they'll be doing. This being led by false spirits, false doctrines, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, would I have to take a poll to find out if you could imagine any religion that forbids marriage? Or to abstain from meats? Can't eat meat on Friday. Ever hear that one? I don't know that I ever really heard the reason behind it. I told you the other day about the fellow I was talking to, and he was a member of that church, and he didn't agree with all their stuff, and apparently one of the things was not eating meat on Friday. So he told me I was crossing over from Italy on the boat, and he said, I went into the cafeteria on Friday, and there sat my priest eating a steak. He said, I walked up behind him and said, "Sir, Father," that's forbidden scripture anyway, but anyway, "Father, why are you eating meat? It's Friday." And the priest spoke up and said, "Oh, it's okay. It says in the Bible not to eat meat on land on Friday, but we're on the sea." Now that's some meat. That's baloney. Amen. That's baloney. Anyway, you got it described so plain right here in the Bible. So plain. Forbidden to marry. Abstain from meats. Verse 4. "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving." If it be received with thanksgiving. "For it is sanctified," or set apart, or "by the word of God and prayer." Now, I know, you know, three times a day, most of us eat three times a day, whether we need to not. Do you take time every time you eat to thank God for it, to pray? Well, I know we're so used to it, we do it very quickly, and but still I do it. Old preacher friend of mine one time said, if it costs 25 cents, you better pray over it. That's probably a good rule of thumb, I don't know. But there's reason to pray over it. Do you understand that we live in a cursed world? The animal kingdom is cursed. Even the plant kingdom is cursed. Do you know what we're doing when we ask God to bless our food? We're asking Him to make it clean nourishment for our bodies. We're asking Him to remove the curse. That's really what we're doing. Now, looking at it here, every creature is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. So you sanctify it by the word of God and prayer, praying over it. Any of you seen the news in the last few days? Now, I only saw just a spot of this. With hidden cameras now, a lot of stuff's being exposed. And they're exposing some of the workers in the restaurants, what they're doing to your food before you eat it. How many of you saw any of that? Oh, it's quite a few hands. Don't that bother you a little bit? Bothers me a lot. I tell you, it does. Bothers me a lot because many years before I went in the ministry, I had a job where I went in the back of some of those restaurants and saw some things that just, Sonia can tell you, got harder and harder to get me to take her out to eat during those years. But that's a good reason to pray over your food. Really? You don't know who spit in it? Help yourself. The news cameras are showing some of this stuff now. What they did to it. But I'm thankful God's promised me, if I'll thank Him for it and I'll pray over it, that He can, and one of my prayers, Sonia can tell you, we got to go out, what was it, Friday night, just she and I, which is pretty unusual, and eat. And one of my prayers, now I don't shout it where the whole restaurant can hear me, but I pray, Lord, you know, thank you for this food. Please make it clean nourishment for our bodies. I feel better after that. I just do. Because it just may need some help, amen? And you don't know for sure. But here's a good reason. The Bible tells you to, for one thing. And then number two, it just may be needed more than you think it's needed. Anyway, now the bridge from what is allowable in the Old Testament under dietary laws to what is best health-wise is a pretty good little bridge. All lawful, grace age, but Paul said everything that's lawful is not necessarily expedient. There's some things you can do that might not be the best thing to do. And even when it comes to eating, some of the things that, yes, it's all right to eat it, but it may not be the best for us. The Bible tells us that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, we generally think about, well, don't put dope in your body, don't drink alcohol, and all the vices we think. But we got to also think about maybe it might be even in something in the food line that we want to keep the temple from the flesh. It's gonna hurt it. When I was a kid or raised on the farm, I could walk out to the garden, and I could take a cucumber, take my little pocket knife and whack it on one end and just eat that raw cucumber. Let me tell you now, if I get a salad, I look to see if there's a cucumber in it, because it just about make me sick if I eat it. Now, I don't know what switch flipped, but something flipped somewhere. From the time I was a kid and could eat those things till now, I don't want a cucumber. It'll get me. Now, if it's cooked, okay. But if it's not cooked, somehow or another, I don't know what happened. So I'm not stupid enough to keep eating anything that hurts me, so I don't eat them. Now, my mother could eat hot pepper. I mean, smoking hot. It couldn't get too hot for her. But even when I was a kid, just the juice off of it was too much for me. So some of you folks that go to these spicy restaurants, not me. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to eat anything that bites me back. Amen? So you know what you can handle and what you can't and so on. So that's good common sense. So to bridge from what might be allowable or what is good for your health is something we probably ought to learn. It's all lawful. It's the grace age. And that'll bring us to two thoughts that I'm going to stop on. I'm going to simply say two thoughts. If you're going to try to do what is best, number one, you got to know what is best if you're going to do what is best. And then number two, and this is a hard one, you got to discipline yourself to do what you know is best. And boy, that's the hard one, isn't it? That's the hard one. I have really enjoyed some of the news that come out saying chocolate was good for you. Amen. They've even come out and had somebody study that said coffee would kill you, and then I read another study said coffee was good.